The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint his body. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. As they were walking, they said to each other, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone that was very large had been rolled back already. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man in a white robe sitting there on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place that they laid him. Go and tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went and they fled the tomb, for terror and amazement seized them, and they told nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. They fled, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. That's it. That's the ending of the story. That's the ending of our reading today. That is the ending of the Gospel of Mark. And if you had your Bibles with you, you could open it up to the end of the Gospel of Mark, and you would see the end just at that point where it says, they told nothing, they did not say anything to anyone. I always get those words mixed up, because they were afraid. And then right underneath that, it would say something like an alternative ending, and there would be a few more verses after that. But a bunch of people who are way smarter than I am, who have studied these things and looked at the manuscripts as far back as they could possibly look, say that the earliest manuscripts of the book of Mark leave out the rest of the story. It ends right here. That's it. They fled. They didn't say anything because they were afraid. And what that does is allows us to enter into the story, to have our own reactions to what is happening in the story. One of those reactions that we might have to Jesus dying on a cross and being raised from the dead, a reaction might be, "What a great story! Jesus is raised from the dead. So what? I still have to go to work tomorrow. I still don't feel good. I'm still mourning the loss of a loved one. Or maybe I'm just having to deal with everyday life stuff like, where are my car keys? Are my kids ready for school? And where do we go next?" So what? Doesn't make any difference in my life from day to day that Jesus is raised from the dead. We go and we eat with our families and we enjoy the day, and then life goes on as usual. And I picture God, when we react that way, sitting up in heaven, looking down upon us with his head hanging in sorrow, sad that we don't see how this is transforming our lives, how this changes everything, that Jesus being raised from the dead brings the kingdom to us here and now and eternal life forever. God is still working in our midst, and so when we don't see the changes, the Holy Spirit is blowing amongst us, bringing us to faith, giving us signs that things are different, that the kingdom is here. Or maybe we react that to Jesus being raised from the dead with fear of the truth. Fear that this story may be true, that this story is true. Oh my gosh, Jesus is raised from the dead so that all might have life, that you might have life. But I'm not so sure about me. Maybe this story isn't about me. Am I worthy of Jesus dying on a cross and being raised? Am I lovable enough to be raised from the dead? Am I good enough? And whenever we measure ourselves, whenever we ask those questions, we know the answers already, or we wouldn't be asking them. No, I'm not good enough. I'm not loved enough, lovable enough, and I'm certainly not worthy enough. And God loves us anyway, even if we can't love ourselves. God comes to us and makes us worthy to be a part of the kingdom. And we have examples from God, Jesus' own disciples in the scriptures, of what happens to those who doubt whether the story is for them, whether this is really for them. If you remember, Peter was in the garden with Jesus when he was arrested, and he followed behind as they took Jesus to the courtyard. And Jesus went in and he stayed out, and when he got to the gate, a woman said, "Aren't you one of Jesus' followers?" And he said, "Nope, that's not me. I don't know him." And then a little while later, as he's warming his hands over the fire, someone says to him, "Aren't you one of Jesus' followers?" And he says, "No, that's not me. Mm-mm." And a little while later, someone says, "I saw you in the garden with Jesus. Aren't you one of his followers?" And Peter says, "It's not me. I don't know the man." And then the cock crows, and Peter remembers, "Oh my gosh, Jesus warned me this was going to happen. He told me I would deny him, and I still did it. I still said, no, I don't know the man who's loved me, who knows me inside and out, who's cared for me, the man that I have loved for 3 years, I have denied." Probably he sat around after that thinking, "Man, am I damned. There's no way I can be redeemed after denying my Lord 3 times. Absolutely not. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy." And we hear in our gospel today the young man in the white robe say, "Go and tell the disciples and Peter, the one who messed up, to come and meet me in Galilee just like I told them I would be there." Even Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times, is loved and redeemed through the death and resurrection of Christ. Or maybe your reaction to it is that this story is just too fantastic. It's utterly unbelievable. There's no scientific reason to believe this story. I mean, when someone's dead, they're dead. They don't get back up. And there's no way to show us that God exists or that Jesus was raised from the dead. And I could share with you all the scientific data we have on how your lives are actually better and you'll live longer if you have faith, that prayer actually does change things when you're sick or ill, that all these people in the world could tell you stories about how their lives are transformed by faith in Jesus. I could share with you that someone has studied that if someone was hanging on a cross and was stabbed with a sword, that water and blood would actually come out of the wound. That's scientific. I could tell you all those things. But the truth is, when it comes down to it, it really is a leap of faith to believe this story is true. And God, again, doesn't leave us in that doubt, wondering if the story's true, that scientists can't prove the infinite. God gives us Thomas, the twin. Thomas is in the upper room with, in another gospel story, with the disciples, and they say, "We have seen the Lord." And he says, "I won't believe it unless I see it." And God didn't leave him there just to be in his unbelief and not be saved. God said, "Fine, let me show you." And Jesus comes into the midst and says, "Feel my hands, stick your fingers in my side, and believe." And Thomas falls to the ground and says, "My God, my Lord." And if this is the reaction we have, because if you're like me, you might have all kinds of different reactions depending on the year or maybe even on the day. If you're in doubt and wondering if God is showing himself to you, this is the place. Jesus is giving himself to you in his body and blood at communion. You can touch it, you can taste it, you can smell it. And you can see the body of Christ gathered here today, and you can touch them, and you can smell them, although maybe not too closely, and you can say hello to them, and you can see Jesus here in this place. He is alive. Or maybe your reaction isn't quite as exciting as all of that. Maybe your reaction is, "Well, that's nice, dear. What a lovely story. But have you seen the people who believe it? Have you seen those silly people that have no education? They don't ever question it. They just trust everything that's told them and they believe all this stuff. I don't want to be like those silly people. Or worse yet, have you seen the crazy people that follow Jesus? I mean, really. And I know you have because you live in Indiana. There's a whole group of people that believe the scriptures. They believe that it is everything written, it is true, and that God created man and woman and only man and woman to love each other, and that if they were to say anything else about that, that they would lead others into sin, and they don't want to be any part of that because to lead others into sin is a sin itself. And so they want to make sure that they help other people, and so they deny talking to those people or rubbing elbows with people who aren't like them because they're afraid. And then there's that other group of people that say, but the scriptures say that Jesus loves everyone. It doesn't matter who they are, how they're made in the image of God. And so it doesn't matter who they love. As long as they're following Jesus, you should tolerate those people. And in the name of tolerance, we're going to threaten your life and take away your business. And there's God looking at the silly people and the crazy people and looking at all the regular people that are gathered here that believe that Jesus is raised from the dead. Everyday people that we don't see on the news that aren't making a big racket but are living out their faith every single day. And you know what? God loves the silly people who don't really look into the scriptures. And God loves the people over in this crazy camp, and God loves the people over in this crazy camp, and God loves the regular people, the moms and the dads and the children, those with high school diplomas and those without, those with master's degrees or PhDs, those who get it all and those who don't hardly get any of it. God does not discriminate. Jesus Christ died and is raised for all of God's creatures. And all of those reactions that we might have, and I bet you there are plenty more that we could have from this story, and all of those reactions, God doesn't change what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do in our lives. Jesus was born on earth, lived, suffered, and died, and is raised to new life. Took an act of God, not science, to do it, and it is true. And God is calling us in our baptisms. We have been marked with the cross of Christ forever, ever, and there's nothing that can wash that off of us. We are God's claimed and fed and comforted and strengthened and sent into the world, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in the world. And so the book of Mark leaves it up to us to live out that story wherever we're at in our faith. It doesn't matter. God is working with you wherever you're at. And even if it changes from day to day, God is there sending his spirit into your midst, teaching you about his love for you. His love so much that while you were yet sinners, he sent his son to die and be raised for you. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.